Welcome to Wolf Den's Dogs in the Den, your weekly insight into the fastest sport on four legs. We are back for another week, and JC, you're a bit under the weather. You had your first go in first grade over the weekend. You came with us down to Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup Derby Day annual pilgrimage, and you've come out of it worse for wear.
Yeah, no good. I don't know if I'll be in first grade again. I enjoyed the experience with all the boys, but unfortunately, due to a few things that happened at a few establishments on Saturday and Sunday night, my voice sounds like this, and you're just going to have to put up with it, punters, for the next 10 minutes. But thankfully, we've got the great Corey Smith taking over doing the Melbourne leg.
Next man up content.
Correct, because I don't think I'd be able to get through Queensland and Melbourne. So thanks to yourself and Corey for helping me out this week.
All right, let's go to the show rundown, as we do. There it is. So we'll get your Thursday sweat set. Sorry, we're going to review the Ipswich Cup heats. We'll preview the final, and that's when you're going to tap out and give your voice a break. And we're going to get the great Corey Smith from down in Melbourne, down the Meadows way, and he's going to come in and give us a good chat about the Dream Chasers Festival. It's pretty exciting. Let's get into it, JC. We always start with your accountability. One from three last week, not good enough.
No.
But on to next week.
No, it's disappointing. We've got to be better. I don't like providing losers to the punters. So we've got two tips this Thursday night. Wentworth Park, race 5. Number 2, Go Lani. Happy to pen her last two starts as she's been unable to lead. Well placed here in a bitches only fifth grade race. And most importantly, she's drawn underneath her main danger, Zipping Mayer. I think as long as she can lead her to the first post, she will be winning. And Hobart, race 10, number 1, Hyperforce. Dropped significantly in grade here, back to Masters Company. Has been racing top grade dogs such as Ducati Roy and Little Zoom in recent weeks. Winner of 4 of his 5 races from box 1. So I think it's going to be terribly hard to hold out. Only 2 tips this week, so I couldn't get through a third one.
Very good. All right, let's move on though. We're going to go to the Ipswich Cup. We had the heats, and we're going to review them now. We're going to start with Heat 2. And we're looking for the 6 dog, Autumn Storm. Take it away, JC.
Yes, well, she was backed absolutely off the map. She started outright favourite. She began as sweetly as anything, but it was the speedy super scrub in box 5 who speared through a needle eye opening, found the front. Autumn Storm lobs into an ominous position there in second place. And you just knew she was going to be too strong over the concluding stages. You're just about to see her eat into the margin now and get to the outside of Speedy Scrub and be too strong late in the piece. Clips heels, draws away, wins by 2 lengths and record a time of 30 and 32.
Let's move on to Heat 3 and we're looking for Duffman from the Red.
Yeah, well, he was heavily supported in opening markets. He actually started odds on in this contest. They sort of began in one line. Hildy from box 7 actually gets the best of the beginning and finds the front, but Duffman, very similar to the last race, lobs straight into a dangerous stalking second position, gets the better of Hildy in a very similar spot, turning 4 home. And yeah, just too much class over the prevailing stages. You're just about to see him take the gap underneath Hildy, put the field away. 30 and 24 was the second fastest run of the night.
Very good. Let's move on to Heat 5. Once again, the Red, Smooth Plane.
Yes, well, the Victorian, all eyes were on him. He was a little bit easy in betting. He started around that even money quote, but he got plenty of room to move early. As you saw there, the doggy in at box 2, used the track a little bit. Smooth Plane was able to get into a really similar position to the last two heats we've watched. They've got into second. They've had a slower dog that has speed drawn underneath them, and they've just put him away, turning for home. He ran 30 and 13. And he held off the really fast finishing Tributeers from box 8. It was the fastest heat winner, and he's going to start favourite in the final.
Let's go and do that. Let's now bring up the Ipswich Cup final market and do a bit of a preview.
Yeah, well, the speed here, expect Kia Kaha from box 2 to press forward and potentially lead this race through the first turn. Duffman and Smooth Plane, we both saw them get to very prominent positions last week. I think both those dogs, depending on whoever gets that second position, will probably be the one that'll be hardest to run down. To run down Kia Kaha. I've landed with the 4 here, Duffman, just at the better price, as I mentioned. I think Kia Kaha leads this race, probably runs second or third, but I think either Duffman or Smooth Plane will get the better of her in the home straight. I think Duffman can sit second, just due to that box draw and obviously a slightly better price. I've landed on him.
Very good. All right, well, that sees you out this week, mate, and you need to rest up over the next week. And don't worry too much. I mean, not many people get to play one first grade game, yes. So if it is just your only ever go at first grade. You know, you've done incredibly well to get there.
I'm sure I'll be back there. I've just got to decide on how to change things moving forward. A bit like Nico Hines. You know, I don't want to be one of those players that gets on, plays out of position for 10 minutes and then gets a chance the following year and stuffs it up and loses all their confidence. So I'm sure I'm going to get another game of first grade. I've just got to go about my work a bit differently.
As promised, it's time to bring in Mr. Corey Smith from down in Victoria. We've got a huge carnival of racing coming up for the Dream Chasers. There's a lot to talk about. It's all about to kick off this weekend. Let's get Corey in, say good day, and get a bit of an explanation about how this whole Dream Chasers Festival works. Welcome in, Corey.
G'day, mate. Pleasure to be with you. Looking forward to it. It's nice, a busy time of year for us greyhound racing folk, but it's the most exciting time of the year as well, because you just see week after week, you see phenomenal fields, the best greyhounds going around. And I'm a greyhound nuffy, as most people that know me know. And I just like watching greyhounds be fast.
Fantastic. And so the carnival, the festival goes for about 6 weeks. Can you just tell us about the highlights? We know that there's a bit of a highlight, firstly, this Saturday night with the Top Gun. What are the other major points along the way?
Yeah, so it kicks off with the Top Gun. There are four major points of coverage. They'll be on racing.com, and we'll have plenty of other be the Top Gun, then it'll be the Melbourne Cup heats at Sandown and the Melbourne Cup final. That's the 23rd and 30th of November, and then we'll come back to the Meadows. So we bookend the big Dream Chasers Festival with the Phoenix on December 21st. But in that kind of time frame as well, we have the Shootout. The Bold Trees is running in conjunction with the Melbourne Cup, the same sort of nights, and then we've got the Silver Chief in December as well. So there's just Group 1 racing, just high quality, high caliber greyhounds going around week in, week out, pretty much starting from the other night on Monday night and heading all the way through to Christmas.
Fantastic. All right, well, why don't we get into it? Let's start with the Top Gun this weekend. We're going to have a look at the markets, and you're going to give us a bit of intel and insight and also a bit of a tip. So let's kick off with the Top Gun Stayers. It's a 730-meter race this Saturday night. We're going to throw the market up on the screen and you can take it away and tell us what you're thinking. Obviously, there's some very good dogs in there, including one that you own yourself or have a share in yourself.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a different sort of year for me. I've never really had a greyhound that's been as good as this bloke, Kenya All Class, I speak of. And I had to step down from the panels this year to select the races. So for those that don't know, the Top Gun Sprint and the Top Gun Stayers, we have an expert panel that comes from all around Australia. We get all the brains in the one room and we discuss and we come up with the best possible fields that we can get. And the Top Gun Stayers field, the Top Gun Sprint field, they've both come together fantastically. So nice and excited, and even more excited that I potentially have a crack with a dog that I own who is a chance. You see that he's around the $5 mark in the markets. But purely on a price-related basis, I think Ritza Piper, the reigning champion, she won this race last year. She beat Belle Polishella on that occasion and some other handy types as well, including Palawar King. She comes back to defend her crown, and coming from box number two, I think is a real advantage. Drill Sergeant, the one, who's a Group 1 winner in his own right, he's the likely leader of the race. If he's not leading, he'll be right there. So I think Ritza Piper will be able to get that perfect run just in behind and get smothered up, and then she'll present down the back and be running on strongly. She's a true stayer. She's a greyhound that will just keep grinding away to the line, and I think she's a massive chance to go back-to-back. And when the bookies are putting up double-figure quotes about Ritza Piper from a nice map, I'm really happy to get involved.
Love that. Big double price figure tip is excellent. And just on your dog, before we move on, you've drawn four. Are you happy with that?
Well, his last 15 starts, he's only drawn inside four once. So he's exactly where he's used to being as of late. But at the same time, he's a sort of greyhound that is, sometimes he'll go towards the rail, sometimes he'll push out. He doesn't really have a pronounced tendency, in my opinion. He just goes for the runs where they are. So fingers crossed he just gets through that first bend safely. And if he gets through the first bend in the top couple, then he's going to be running absolute sizzling sectionals through the middle of the race, and then he'll be holding on late. So he's an intriguing runner, only had the two runs over the 700 metres, but I'm looking forward to Saturday night and seeing where he stacks up against what is a quality field. As you can probably see by the market, 370, the favourite, is not how it often weighs out in the staying events. Normally, there's a short price favourite around Australia in the 700-metre races, but we've just got calibre greyhounds that are just amazing to see a field like this. It just doesn't happen like this.
Fantastic. All right, let's move on to the sprinters, where you've got another crackerjack field. We'll throw the market up and you can take it away.
Yeah, well, this is another intriguing market. The box draw kind of brought out a few greyhounds that maybe were good chances if they drew inside, they drawn outside. You see Morton there on the screen. He's actually been scratched in the last hour or so as we're heading into the recording. So he won't be in. Tim Zhu will be in the field at this stage. If there's no more scratchings, Tim Zhu will go into box number 7. So he's around the $8 mark, may firm in slightly if he does get a run. But box number 7 isn't exactly where Tim Zhu wants to be drawn. But Explicit, another Jason Thompson-trained runner. He's got 4 in the field. He's got Explicit, Excavation, Flying Zulu, and now Tim Zhu. So he's making up half the field in a hand-selected race. It goes to show how quality Jason Thompson's greyhounds are at the moment, and he's going to play a massive role, of course, on Saturday night. In my opinion, the best dog in Australia at the moment is Explicit, but he can do a few little things wrong in the first 10 to 20 metres. But from box number 8, I think you'll be able to balance up and be able to scoot around the outside. As long as he doesn't get posted wide going into that first bend, he's going to be really hard to beat. I was speaking to Jason Thompson when they announced him as their Phoenix runner about a month or so ago, and he just said, we've selected Explicit because he can win from any box. And while he does need to do it against the highest caliber opposition that he's probably faced in his career, he is a Group 1 winner, he's a multiple Group 2 winner, he's made other big finals as well. I think box number 8 is actually going to suit him. And with his early speed and being left alone out wide, I think he's going to be really hard to beat. But if I was to take a little bit of value, I'd be heading toward another New South Wales Raider in Good Odds Cobber. I think double figures is a really nice price. He's a dog that is just used to these sort of high-pressure races. He's a Group 1 winner. He's come down from New South Wales. He's trialled a couple of times at the Meadows and trialled in good fashion as well. So I just think he might be the touch of overs in this one.
Okay, brilliant. And we've got another feature event on the night, another Group 1, which is the Hume Cup. It's a 600-metre race. Just tell us a little bit about how this fits into the night.
Yeah, so the other two races, the Top Gun Sprint and the Top Gun Stayers, are both hand-selected fields. The Hume Cup's a bit different, where it's heat into final. So we had 5 heats on Monday night, 5 quality heats. Not always the full fields. There was a few scratchings, but they were chock full of quality greyhounds as well. And Raiders Guide's come up favourite, and I think that's a deserving sort of position for him to be in. It's an intriguing box draw. As we were hosting the box draw, an ethanol volume came out with box number 1. I could just feel that there was a few people that were a little bit nervous, because he does like to use a fair bit of the track. And if he nails the start on that bend start, he might take a few with him in the early stages. But Zipping Kai, number 2, was a greyhound that did get beaten in its heat, but managed to get through, was one of the first 3 fastest seconds. He actually set the first sectional record on Monday night. So he showed plenty of pace. Doesn't always do it, but if he does that, and he collides into ethanol volume, then I think maybe Raiders Guide is just going to get the perfect run into the race. And Raiders Guide is from Tasmania, so he probably gets a little bit underrated by plenty of people, but he doesn't get underrated by me. I think he's an absolute superstar. Any time, any distance, any track, he just runs massive races. He's won 700-metre Group 1. He's won a 600-metre Group 1 in the Rookie Rebel at this track and trip. And I think he's poised to take out the Hume Cup this year.
So would you say he's your best bet on the night, on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think so. We obviously don't have the rest of the fields, but out of those three Group 1 races, I definitely think Raiders Guide is the one that I want to be with. I'm on him at 550 all in, so hopefully we can let the overs god be kind to me. But as we know, as punters, that doesn't always happen.
It doesn't. No, that's right. Can't. What do they say? What's the saying? Can't eat good odds.
Exactly right. I wish you could, because you can often find those, but normally it just goes downhill.
Would have had a lot of better meals over the years. No worries, mate. And we touched on these before, the Melbourne Cup and also the Phoenix. We're just going to quickly run through them as well. So just tell us a bit about the Melbourne Cup. It's obviously a very prestigious race. We'll put the market up there as well. But it's arguably the biggest race in greyhound racing to win each year, right?
Yeah, exactly right. I think if you remove prize money out of the equation and you ask all trainers what race they'd want to win, they're probably saying a Melbourne Cup or a Golden Easter Egg. Obviously, we don't take the prize money out of the equation. That's all part of it. And many people would want to win a $1 million chase or a Phoenix. But the tagline for the Melbourne Cup has always been the greatest race in greyhound racing. And I think that's the way that it shapes up to be this year. There's plenty of depth and the markets are really intriguing. Explicit, who I mentioned before, I think he's the best dog in the country. He's going to need a little bit of luck at times, but he can win from any draw and he's going to be really hard to beat. But a greyhound that I think is probably flying under the radar and might be one of the most underrated dogs in Australia is trained by Team Daly, who are phenomenal. They've won Melbourne Cups before. They know how to do it. And the greyhound I speak of is Smooth Plain. He's made countless group finals. He was narrowly beaten in the Group 1 National Sprint not long ago. He's nice and strong. He's raced over 600 metres as well. So he's the sort of dog that you can put him in any situation. He's going to try his heart out and he's going to have a crack. So if I'm having a bit of a long-range play a few weeks out from the Melbourne Cup, I think Smooth Plane might be the one that I'm intrigued in taking.
Very good. And then let's move on to the Phoenix. So it's a slot race. You can tell us a little bit about the conditions as well. It's obviously on your home deck at the Meadows. We'll put the market up and let you take it away.
Yeah, so the Phoenix is a slot race, so similar to the Everest for the thoroughbred racing fans. They're obviously all the rage at the moment. The slot race is in all three codes. The Phoenix, this is the fourth edition. The first two were won by Wowshe's Fast, and then last year taken out by Scalacci. Wowshe's Fast is retired. Scalacci is still going around, so he's an outside chance to find his way and look to become the second greyhound to go back-to-back. But there's been three greyhounds locked in so far. Explicit, the first of those. We've spoken about him plenty, but he's been signed up by Team Thompson, who have decided to buy a slot for the first time this year, which is awesome to see. McKenna goes to Aaron Bain Racing and Summit Bloodstock, and then Rinse the Lot, who's a Group 1 winner, goes to the Melbourne Storm, which is it's nice and exciting to have them associating with the race and associating with greyhound racing. So I'll be cheering them on as well. But a greyhound that I think flies a little bit under the radar, just missed the top 10 for the Top Gun selection, was a little bit stiff in my mind and unfortunately was first reserve in the Silver Bullet as well due to the way the conditions were kind of written on Monday night as well. She's $11 in a Phoenix Lakeview, Emily. I think she's the sort of greyhound that I'd want to be taking into a Phoenix if I was a slot holder. She's got early speed, she's got mid-race burn, and she's strong enough late. So I think she'd give any prospective slot holders a really good run for their money. And hopefully, if any of the punters are playing into the all-in markets, that Lakeview Emily can give us a run for our money as well.
Brilliant, mate. Well, thank you for that. You've been fantastic. A lot of insight. We always love having you on. So is it okay if we stay in touch with you over the next few weeks as the Dream Chasers Festival unravels and get some updates from you along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Always available to have a chat with you guys. It's always plenty of fun. And hopefully we can get everyone nice and excited about some of these races coming up, because it just doesn't get better than this. We're seeing it in the thoroughbred world. The Cox Plate was fantastic. And we're going through the Flemington Carnival at the moment. Obviously the Everest and all that up in Sydney too. So it's great racing in all three codes. And I'm looking forward to seeing the next couple of months and how they pan out. And hopefully we can land a few plays for the punters.
Exactly. And we were talking this morning about trying to pull together a live stream and a punter's pot for Melbourne Cup night. So it's a bit of a way to go before it's locked in, but we're both trying to make it happen, aren't we? And that'd be a bit of fun for everybody.
Yeah, exactly right. I'd love to be involved in that. It's going to be plenty of fun if we can get it across the line. So maybe we'll need some of the listeners to start putting a little bit of the extra pressure on and making sure that we can get it done, because I reckon it'd be great content. And I reckon we'd be able to find a few winners as well.
Great stuff, Corey. Thanks, mate. We'll talk soon.
Too easy. Thanks, fellas.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.